both here in the States and overseas. Lord, there's a lot of trouble that's going on, and the gospel needs to go out. And Lord, pray that you would be with the missionaries as they proclaim the gospel to the lost, those who are sitting in darkness. Pray that you would be with them, that you would bless their work and their efforts, Lord, as they faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let their words be a light in the darkness, and their lives be glorifying to you in their actions and in their deeds, that they might show forth the grace that has been demonstrated through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Pray that you would be with the magistrates. Pray that you would bless them, Lord, that you would strengthen them in your word. Lord, draw them close to you as they lead this nation, both on the local level and on the state level and on the federal level, and the various different offices and branches of the government. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen those who seek and desire to live according to your rule, your law, to uphold the Constitution of this country. And pray, Lord, that those who refuse to submit to your rule, refuse to submit their hearts to you, rejecting your word, your authority, rejecting even the Constitution as their authority, pray that you would bring confusion to their hearts, confound them, and defeat their every effort to overtake and overcome this country. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us as a people and your saints, for we know that in the years and times coming that there may be great tribulation and trials and troubles. And so, Lord, we look to you and you alone for our strength, for our peace and our comfort, according to your word that you've given to us through by your Spirit, Lord, in your word. And so, Lord, continue your hand of blessing upon us. And we pray all these things in Christ Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Let us now turn in our hymnals to hymn number 433, My God is Any Hour So Sweet. Hymn number 433, let us stand and sing this hymn together.
Thank you.
Before my message, I wanted to read from Luke chapter 11. The message this evening will be on prayer. It's a necessity. And this is a part of the essential element of being a Christian, being engaged in prayer on a regular basis. And the Lord encourages us to do so. And we find that in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, is where I would like to read from. This is God's infallible and errant word. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him?" As I mentioned beginning before I read the scripture, prayer is one of the most important activities of the Christian life, and yet it is one of the most neglected of these activities. And there's many excuses and reasons that are offered up for not praying. Could it be that it is because a person has become so self-sufficient and complacent that he or she has forgotten from whose hand we have received all that we possess? There are those who think prayer is a waste of time, either believing that God will not hear their prayers on the one hand, or on the other hand, the tyranny of the urgent is so overwhelming them that action needs to be taken now and causing them to push aside prayer. Then there are those who say, "Oh, I'll pray when I think I need God's help." But that kind of self-exalting thinking will only invoke God's ire, to put it mildly. Further, with that kind of thinking, though professing to be a Christian, he or she is portraying the mindset and heart of just another unbelieving humanist in sheep's clothing who puts his or her trust and strength in himself or herself rather than God. On the other side of the coin of unbelief, there are some Christians who believe that prayer is just such a sacred activity that if they say the wrong thing, the wrath of God would immediately pour down upon them. They seem to think that they can only pray prayers that are prepackaged, that are approved by the quote-unquote higher-ups, whoever they may be. In the Reformed faith, there are some who think that because God is in control of all things, there is no need to pray, saying, what will happen, so why pray about it? Can't change anything. Then there are some Christians that will pray privately, but when asked to pray publicly, they'll break out in a cold sweat and act as though they have been just asked to jump off a bridge to their death or cut off their right arm. But none of these are biblical nor reasonable grounds for a Christian to not pray, whether privately or publicly. Scripture teaches us differently, and as believers in Christ, our consciences ought to lead us to pray continually. Not lead us, but drive us to pray continuously. Especially in light of what we learn from the Ten Commandments. The Heidelberg Catechism also makes this point quite clear as it concludes the section on the Ten Commandments. The Catechism number 115 asks, why then does God so strictly enjoin the Ten Commandments upon us, since in this life no one can keep them? The fact that we know we cannot in this life, in this lifetime, keep the Ten Commandments ought to drive us to prayer under the burden of knowing the greatness of our sin. This fact ought to be continually before us every day throughout the day as we go about our business. However, that doesn't mean that we ought to fall into despair and hopelessness, but rather remember the answer to that catechism question, which reads, quote, first, that as long as we live, we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and so the more earnestly seek the forgiveness of sins and righteousness in Christ. Second, that without ceasing, we diligently ask God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we be renewed more and more after the image of God until we attain the goal of perfection after this life. End quote. From that catechism, we see that there are two responses that we are to have as we come to realize that we fail miserably in keeping the commandments of God as He requires of us. First, we are to more and more earnestly seek the forgiveness of God and righteousness in Christ. And then we are to diligently ask God for the grace of the Holy Spirit to renew us more and more after the image of Christ until we attain the perfection, until we attain the goal of perfection in the life to come. Whether it is earnestly seeking or diligently asking, in either case, prayer is the means or the instrument that is used. Thus we see that after obtaining a proper understanding of the Ten Commandments, the topic of prayer would naturally follow, which is also what the Heidelberg Catechism does. Prayer flows or ought to flow from a proper understanding of our lack of ability to keep the law as required by God. In fact, we read in Galatians 3 that the law brings us to Christ. Whereby we earnestly seek Him who paid for our sins on the cross and diligently ask God to renew us by the Holy Spirit. That is to ask God for grace to repent of our sins so that we will be able to turn away more and more from our sins and to turn toward Christ, earnestly seeking to conform our lives to Him in His image by the renewing of our minds, to live more and more in submission to that good and acceptable perfect will of God that is according to His Word. Thus, it is evident that for the Christian, prayer is a vitally important part of his or her life. this evening, as I mentioned, we'll focus on this issue of the necessity of prayer. So to hopefully build our confidence with a biblical understanding of prayer and thereby encourage us as Christians to pray more earnestly and more diligently. In considering this issue, we'll take a close look at Heidelberg Catechism number 116, addressing the question, why is prayer necessary for Christians? The answer to which is because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those who earnestly and without ceasing ask them of Him and render thanks unto Him for them. In addressing this question, why is prayer necessary for Christians? We will use this catechism to guide our thinking. In it, we find that there are four reasons as to why it is necessary to pray, especially for the Christian. First, it is commanded by God. Second, our necessity and want requires it. Third, the necessity of giving thanks. Then fourth, it is required of God as a means of asking Him for His grace and Holy Spirit and to render thanks to Him for them. So we'll look at these, each reason, one at a time. The first reason it is necessary for us to pray is because we are commanded by God to do so. Psalm 50, verse 15, we are told to, quote unquote, call upon the Lord when we find ourselves in times of trouble. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, Jesus tells the multitude and us also, quote, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock, it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. End quote. And at the end of Christ's earthly ministry, Jesus repeats this command to his disciples in John 16:24, where he tells them and us also that if we want the fullness of his joy, we are to pray. The Lord, through the apostles and other writers of the New Testament, also reminds us that the Lord requires us to pray. In Ephesians, in the spiritual battles that we fight, we are told in chapter 6, verse 18, that we are to pray, not just for ourselves, but also for others. In Philippians 4, 6, we are told that instead of being anxious about our situations we find ourselves in, we are to, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our requests known to God. In James 15:16, we are commanded again to pray for one another. 1 John 5:14 and 15, we are told that we are to pray according to the will of God. And then finally, we are told in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 that we are to pray without ceasing. In consideration of the scripture just mentioned here, is there any doubt that we are commanded by God to pray? Yet, our need to pray, or the necessity of prayer, goes deeper than just a mere act of obedience to God. This leads us to the second reason prayer is necessary. Prayer is also necessary because of our dependence on the Lord for all things necessary for body and soul. Our need for the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, to open our eyes to the truths that He has revealed in His Word, the promises that He's shown to us, given to us in the Word, the wisdom that we find in His Word to guide our hearts, ought to compel us to pray. James makes this point clearly when he says, of those to whom he's writing specifically and to us generally, that they did not have anything because they didn't ask it of the Lord. And of course, James, the brother of Jesus, was just repeating what Jesus had said at the beginning of his earthly ministry in the Sermon on the Mount, which we just read a moment ago from Matthew chapter 7 and 8. And in that same discourse, Jesus concludes with verse 13 of Matthew chapter 7 with these words, quote, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" The Lord requires that we ask of Him the blessings that we are needed for body and soul. Because by doing so, we also acknowledge our dependence upon Him. In Heidelberg Catechism 116, we are told, amongst other things, that prayer is necessary because it is the means by which we receive His grace and Holy Spirit when we earnestly and without ceasing ask for them of God. In commending this and commenting on this catechism, Ursinus writes, quote, "We do not obtain the blessings which are necessary for us except we ask them at the hand of God, for He has promised them to none but such as ask," end quote. And then he goes on to observe that prayer is, quote, "just as necessary for us as it is for a beggar asking for alms," end quote. Indeed, do we not learn from Romans 11:36 that all things are of the Lord and through Him? In fact, this truth is repeated throughout Scripture where it says, all things belong to God. We see it in Deuteronomy 10:14, Job 41:11, and Psalm 50, verse 12, and so on. It makes sense, then, that we must humbly ask God in prayer what belongs to Him, asking Him as beggars, whatever it may be. We have nothing except that we get from the hand of our faithful Father in heaven. Furthermore, though we learn from Matthew chapter 6 that God knows all that we need, prayer is nonetheless necessary, especially because of sin that constantly assails against us. We are in need of Him providing not only our material needs, we also need Him to provide for our spiritual needs, to pour out His grace and His Holy Spirit on us daily, to strengthen us, to give us wisdom as we walk in the midst of the darkness that surrounds us. Moreover, all things come not by chance, but by His fatherly hand, as the 27th Catechism teaches us from Scripture. Thus, our need and dependence on God ought to drive us to prayer daily. The third reason as to why we are to pray is because of the necessity of giving thanks, which is also a necessary part of prayer. In 1 Thessalonians, we learn that not only are we commanded to pray, but in the next verse, verse 18 of chapter 5, we are told, quote, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you," end quote. The giving of thanks is the will of God in Christ for us. It is a necessary part of our Christian life, no matter where we are, in church, at home, in the workplace, out in the fields, in our conversations with relatives, friends, or business associates. This connection between prayer and the giving of thanks is more clearly seen in Philippians 4:6, where we learn that we are to go to God with our requests in prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. Thus, we see that in asking God for our needs, it is necessary that we also render thanks to Him for hearing and answering our prayers. Without the giving of thanks, We lose those things which are given and do not receive those things which are necessary and should be given. As we learn from Matthew 13, verse 12. For example, those who do not seek or desire faith will never have it kindled, much less increased. It is the unthankful ingrate who is without faith, as we learn from Romans 1, 21. However, those who are blessed with faith have tasted the goodness and grace of God. And those who have tasted the goodness, God's goodness and grace, will show themselves thankful to God for His blessings and desire it more and more. Did not the disciples, having tasted God's blessing of faith, ask the Lord to increase their faith in Luke 17, 5? And the man in Mark 9, 24 cried out with tears to Christ, saying, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Having the blessing of faith, in both of these cases, more faith was desired, not from an ungrateful heart, but rather with thankfulness for what they already had. Because of that, they desired even more faith. They saw how much more blessed they were because of what they had been given, and they desired more of it. Thus, we see the necessity of giving thanks, which is required of God, and is expressed in an inseparable part of prayer, thereby making prayer necessary, especially for the Christian who professes faith in Jesus Christ. Fourth, the final reason prayer is necessary is because the Holy Spirit is also obtained by prayer. We read earlier in Matthew that Christ said, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" End quote. The Father will not deny the Holy Spirit to anyone who asks of Him for Him. We also see in Ephesians 5:18 that we as Christians are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit by means of prayer, which we ought to do every day throughout the day, not just during perhaps even the invocation on the Lord's Day. Right about now, you might be asking, are we not given the Holy Spirit at the time of our new birth so that we might be able to believe and repent from our sins? And the answer is a resounding, unqualified yes, He is. However, though the Holy Spirit is given to us initially by grace and the hearing of the gospel so that we are able to understand the salvation that is by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, the requirement which is being taught here is a request by those who have been renewed and regenerated by the Holy Spirit to be filled with the Holy Spirit, without whom we would most assuredly fail in our walk of faith and would quickly fall away, turning away from Him who saved us from our sin and misery. In other words, it is an acknowledgement of our dependence upon the Holy Spirit to uphold us in faith in Jesus Christ, to strengthen us in times of trial and trouble, and to give us wisdom in applying God's Word daily as we go about our daily tasks. We read in the 51st Psalm, verse 12, where David prays to the Lord, "Uphold me by your generous spirit." Further, from Romans chapter 8, we need to ask for the Holy Spirit who intercedes for us when we do not know what to ask of God. Thus, we see that we are required to ask for the Holy Spirit in our daily walk, and the means by which we do so is prayer. Thereby, we see the necessity of prayer because we are required to ask of God for the Holy Spirit to uphold us and keep us in Christ. Having considered the four reasons for the necessity of prayer, we must not see prayer as an ancillary or unnecessary activity, or that prayer is something that is optional for the Christian. Prayer is commanded by God. Our own want, necessities of life require us to pray. Moreover, the requirement to give thanks and to ask for the Holy Spirit makes prayer necessary for the Christian. The necessity of prayer is quite clear, beloved, as we have learned today from our look at God's Word and as it is expressed in the Heidelberg Catechism. So let us ask ourselves, is how we live our lives in our daily walk as we carry out our various activities and tasks throughout the week reflecting this sense of the necessity of prayer? Do we pray as one who seeks and desires from the Lord all things that are necessary in this life, both of a physical and spiritual nature, giving thanks to Him and desiring to be more and more upheld by the Holy Spirit, do have our faith increased? Or does our life reflect one who doesn't see the necessity of prayer, such as the unbeliever, the unthankful, and the self-sufficient humanist or atheist? I believe at one point or another in each of our lives we have reflected to a certain degree both attitudes toward prayer, if not speaking, not consciously, but subconsciously in our actions. When we fall into the latter attitude, let us repent of any ungodly attitude toward prayer. And as those who are in Christ by faith, be ever vigilant to be diligent in prayer, so that our lives are lived consistently and constantly in such a manner that reflects more and more desire to seek the Lord, asking Him to so work grace in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that our faith may be increased and strengthened, and our lives become more and more conformed to the image of Christ, so as to become more and more a clear testimony to others of the grace that is at work in us by the Holy Spirit to the glory of God. Let us never forget, just as prayer is necessary to come by faith to Jesus Christ for salvation, resting in His one atoning work on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, salvation, and everlasting life, so also it is necessary as believers in Christ, like beggars asking alms, to continue in prayer all the days of our lives. Beloved in Christ, cry out to Him in times of trouble, asking Him for grace and the Holy Spirit to endure the trials and tribulations encountered in this life. Look to God through Jesus Christ our Lord for all things necessary for body and soul, giving thanks to Him for all the blessings we have received from His fatherly hand, to His praise and glory. For to Him alone belong all glory, honor, wisdom, and power forever. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do give thanks to You for Your goodness and Your mercies towards us. Lord, we have seen the necessity of prayer, and yet it's such a neglected part of our lives many, many times. Lord, let us always have before us that thought that our need to come to You, to give thanks to You for Your many blessings that You've bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord, both in this life and in the life to come. Lord, all that we have from Your hand. And so, Lord, we ask that You would fill us with Your Spirit, Lord, that we would keep in mind and thought the things that we have learned this evening from your word. Lord, that all that we say and do may be glorifying to you. Lord, let us seek our strength in you through prayer. O Lord, for we could not stand but for a moment without your Holy Spirit. Lord, pray that as we depart from here, that you would strengthen us, guide us, and direct us. Give us hearts to believe. Give us hearts of faith to walk according to your word, to your glory and honor. In Christ Jesus, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. This time, let us turn in our hymnals to hymn number 425, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Hymn number 425. Let us stand and sing this hymn together. As a reminder, the building fund offering is being taken up in the foyer. Let us now close our this worship service with the doxology and then the benediction. Thank you. Receive now God's blessing. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the Church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.